Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Ooh, yeah, there it is. What's it, the death, the Imperial Death March song? Is that what they call
Death
it?
Death March.
No. Is it no?
Death Star.
Okay. I've already shown how much I know about Star Wars.
You keep talking.
This is the March song, though, right? The Imperial March. Okay, there you go.
Keep talking.
We're going to get to Star Wars in just one second. Roger, I wanted to...
No spoilers.
Roger, I wanted to just one thing off the news.
Yes.
That caught my eye because it links to something I had printed out. Oh. The Beijing Air.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this Canadian company that's selling air bottled in a ski resort in Western Canada in the Rocky Mountains? They're selling it for $14 to $20, depending obviously on the size of the canister. It's one of those things. I wish I would have thought of that. I don't know if Chicago air is much better. I mean, I could probably sell it for a little bit less because it's not quite as good as Rocky Mountain ski lodge air.
Yeah, you know, we're a little lower on the, you know, we're not, we're not as high above sea level.
We don't got the greatest air around here, but it's better than Beijing's.
Yeah.
So I could bottle up some air.
I think anything's better than Beijing's right now.
How do you bottle air?
Well, you know, they showed that. Didn't you see that commercial many years ago? The little boy who... took a bottle and waved it through the air.
That's what I was saying.
And they came home and he gave it to his great-grandfather.
I didn't see that commercial, no. That's what I pictured, though. Just some kid shaking water bottles around and selling it. They're selling it $14 to $20. If anyone wants some air from Chicago, you're listening. You know, 38 states in Canada here. If you got friends in Beijing or listening on WGNRadio.com,
there you go.
I'll send you some air.
Sure.
Just send me $5.
Here, it'll be a long tube.
Yeah. I'll get you some air. All right, we're going to get to Star Wars here. Again, no spoilers from anyone. And joining me now, you know, again, I'm not big on the Star Wars thing. I enjoy episodes 4, 5, 6. I don't think I saw all, even, I saw one. I didn't see two. I saw three and kind of like three. So I decided to enlist my nerdiest friend, Blake Stubbs, who is also great at reviewing movies. It's one of his passions in life. Blake, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, Blake, how's the weather down there in Peoria? How's the Peoria air?
Peoria air is pretty cold today. I was not much of a fan back today. I pretty much stayed in. I just kind of thought about Star Wars all day because I saw it late Thursday night.
Yeah, so yes, so, get a little water bottle, shake it around Peoria and send it up here to Chicago, okay?
Oh, I will, absolutely.
So, we're not going to go into just an in-depth review of the whole thing, but in general, the reviews have been really good. So in like a Twitter version, Blake, I mean, there's the reason why people are excited and they should be.
Well, to be honest with you, I have to very much preface that I am a lifelong Star Wars fan. I think you've sort of let the audience know that, but I am. And I've also been a film critic. So for me, this is sort of hard because I want to give it a very fair review as a film. But I also have all of these emotions that connected me to this universe my entire life.
Did you watch them before they? You remember when they did the digitally remastered re-releases? That's when I first watched them in the theater. Were you even before then?
I was. I remember there used to be TBS or TNT used to show them on Christmas Day every year. And when I was very young, my father sat me down on the couch and we watched all of them. That was the Christmas Day celebration, became a tradition. I watched them on VHS recorded off television, and that was back, you know, before they did any kind of adding of CGI, changing of scenes, et cetera. So Star Wars is probably the first universe that I'm, like, a purist as far as how I look at all of these films.
And I should also preface this, Blake, just so people know.
Yeah.
Both of us are born after Return of the Jedi, not to make Roger feel old or anything like that. Yeah. But that Return of the Jedi is 83, right? And then I was born in 84, and so we're after that. But
I was born in 85.
But you can just see how that permeates through the culture. Still, your dad showing it to you. So, like you said, you want to look at it unbiased, even though you have this connection to it. So, I mean, what's your review? I guess, are you happy with it?
If I wanted to give you a 140 character review, it would be this. And I actually wrote this down, and I'm going to read it on the air because I think it's important that I get it right. And that is, in the end, this film isn't perfect, but it ends up being what it needed to be, and just a little bit more in some places. It's a great setup for the journey ahead. And that is sort of the whole point of the first film in this next trilogy, is that it really has to set up where they're going to go. And they really do an effective job of nailing that down. I felt at the end of this that I had plenty of questions left, but they're all the right ones. You know, like, who is this character? How do they relate to this character? Where is this going to go? What's left for the bad guys? What's left for the good guys? You know, all those things are going to be running through your head when those final credits start rolling. So it is effective. It is a good, good film.
So in many ways, it's like Four in that it sets up a lot of what you then see in Empire and Jedi.
Absolutely, yes. Although I will say that it is drawing a lot of, I wouldn't even say it's ire, but it's drawing a lot of attention for being very similar to Episode Four, which is A New Hope. And there are going to be similarities. I mean, this entire saga has done a really good job of being repetitious in some ways. And however, I do think because of where they place all of the repetitive elements in this film, it is a very much a departure from the way they've done it in the past. I do, and that's sort of my stance. And I know that without being spoilerific, there are some really big good surprises in this movie. There are some really great beats that hit at the right times when they need to. And if you're a Star Wars fan and you want a little bit of nostalgia, oh man, they're going to give you a brilliant, brilliant, you know, platter of that you can just absorb throughout while you're watching.
I was talking to some people at work that went to go see it, and by the way, we're at work at 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning. They went to go see it the night before, God bless them, and they said, and this is not a spoiler because it's in the trailer, but when the Millennium Falcon kind of fires up, it was like going to a sporting event. Like, the Hawks had just scored a goal in the theater. Yeah. Was that the experience for you too?
It was. I have to say, I went with three dear friends, and beforehand I had to preface with them because they were Star Wars fans of very different levels, okay? Mm-hmm. So I had one who was insanely casual about it, one who was in a lifelong, and one who just at certain points in her life, she's just been the biggest Star Wars fan. So we had all these different sort of levels of fandom in our little row. And when the Millennium Falcon was showcased, I was sitting there. I'm not gonna lie, man. I got a little misty.
Really?
I was feeling it. It was one of those things where I thought, you know, I'm gonna just sort of give myself up to this movie, and I'm gonna see if they can really get me to go over the edge and really feel what I felt the first time I watched Star Wars, and every other time I watched it after that.
We got a text from the. Good, good, good. We got a text from the 815 that says 523 days till Star Wars 8. So yeah. The countdown has already begun.
Oh, I'm on the countdown with you, man. Whoever sent that in.
Yeah, yes, or woman. Absolutely. Or lady.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's a big point. Speaking, you know, man or woman, doesn't matter anymore. Star Wars, I wanted to say this. Star Wars has always had a stigma for being for the boys. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue in some cases it hasn't been, because I've known women to be very big Star Wars fans growing up. It's actually a great conversation piece at parties, gatherings, etc. If you're in, you're in. However, with this film, I can definitively say that this is not just for boys anymore. Mothers, take your daughters to see this movie. That was a goal that they set in all the marketing and interviews. They really succeed. Everybody needs to see this. Everyone.
We're going to get into why people are more excited, I think, for 7, 8, 9, why they might enjoy it more overall than 1, 2, and 3, and what the differences are, especially if you don't really know the backstory of how this all kind of came about, how these development came about.
Right.
Blake's going to stay with us. We're going to take a quick break here on 720 WGN. We're talking Star Wars and all things movies with my nerdiest friend, Blake Stubbs, who's a movie critic extraordinaire out of Peoria, where the air is clean and cold. Blake, I got to ask, before we get to more Star Wars chat,
yes.
During my day job for the TV station WCIU-TV, Channel 26, the U, as you all know, and you and me this morning, you and me is the name of the show. Anyways, we posed the question today on air, and I think we had a lot of interesting feedback about what's the one movie that people are shocked you've never seen. And a lot of people did chime in that they've never seen Star Wars, and how they get that reaction from people.
Right.
You know, you've seen almost every movie. Is there a movie out there that people are shocked that you've never seen, or have you seen everything?
Well, you're going to get a very big admission out of me here, and I'll probably have to get a hold of it and watch it today. And that is, I am a diehard Hitchcock fan, okay? But mm-hmm. I have never actually seen his truest masterpiece, which is Vertigo. I will admit on the air that I have never seen Vertigo, and I have come close. I've had, you know, a lot of film classes in college. They showed clips and things, and I tried to block it out because I'm like, look, this is the one. This is the movie that everybody talks about. I want to see it all in one sitting. And for some reason, I'm almost a decade removed from college, and I've never actually seen it in one sitting.
It's so interesting, you know, and it's interesting because I think that for people that have that love movies and know movies, they might be shocked by that. But I don't think like if the average layman wouldn't be like, "Oh my God, you've never seen Vertigo."
No, there wouldn't be a huge dramatic uproar. But for me, you know, like my favorite movie of all time is Rear Window, so that's also a Hitchcock
movie. So you would think that maybe.
And people have heard me pontificate about Rear Window plenty of times.
Right.
I definitely, you know, have these moments where I'm like, you know what, I've never seen Vertigo. And for some reason, it just doesn't end up in the Blu-ray player.
The one that I can think of that, especially in the holiday season, I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's on TV all the time.
All right. Let me join you. I didn't actually see It's a Wonderful Life until this last Christmas.
Okay.
So, you know what? Like, for me, Christmas movies were always Irving Berlin's White Christmas. They were, you know, Christmas Vacation and A Christmas Story. Those were the big three for me. But now It's a Wonderful Life in that little, you know, group that I have to watch it now this Christmas because I saw it last Christmas.
312-981-7200. If you don't want to chime in about Star Wars, chime in about that. The question is, what's the one movie people are shocked you've never seen? You can call 312-981-7200 or send us a text at the same number. Roger, is there a movie for you that Blake can react to that you've never seen that people are shocked about? Roger? Roger Banish? He's busy building the next news. We had some other comments out there. Harry Potter.
Oh, really? Well, that's okay.
Yeah, I didn't think that was that big of a deal.
I mean, depending on your age and if you had kids when those started to roll out like that, that could, you know, people might have missed that. That's okay.
What about Titanic? Is that a must-see?
Yeah, that one is a must-see. That's okay. A big event movie. That's one of the biggest movies of all time, blockbuster-wise. It's kind of hard to, I mean, you can't cry spoiler alert or anything that everybody knows what happens, but you definitely... But in all seriousness, there is a compelling love story in Titanic that if you want to see that type of film, you should watch Titanic for sure.
Here's one that left me, you know, screaming. You haven't seen Princess Bride.
Oh, that's okay.
Gotta see Princess Bride.
See that? I saw that one pretty young, and you know, there's an element of that movie that's clearly what feels like it's filmed in a Chicago suburb. So if you're a Chicago listener and you haven't seen Princess Bride, you need to go out, rent that, watch that, love that. It's right up your alley. Yeah, it's up everybody's alley.
Blake, someone wrote in, and you know this is going to get me go crazy. Someone wrote in Jaws.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
You haven't seen Jaws? If you haven't seen Jaws.
You haven't seen Jaws. Okay, here's the thing. We're on this Star Wars kick, and we've now invoked Jaws, which is one of the biggest movies. Jaws and Star Wars are pretty much the impetus for the term blockbuster. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These are movies that were made for not a whole lot of money, and then for some reason made insane amounts of money. Unforgivably large amounts of money. And really turned the industry upside down. So to have missed Jaws up to this point, now unless you have like a real strong fear of sharks or sea creatures, like probably see Jaws.
Yeah.
There's, first of all...
Blake, people are let's get to some more of these. People are chiming in. This is we've hit a hot button issue.
We have
The 773 says The Wizard of Oz, which hits home to me because I wore down our VHS tape of The Wizard of Oz growing up and would do puppet shows and The Wizard of Oz. I would watch that over and over. How is someone not seeing The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, I guess it's just, it was hard to believe because it's shown on television for a long time.
Right.
Growing up, it was on television all the time. It's been re-shown in theaters many times.
Right.
During its original theatrical release, it was shown for years. It was so popular.
We got a caller, Chris, on the line. Chris, what's the one movie you've never seen that people are shocked about?
I've never seen The Godfather.
Oh,
man. See, I would almost feel it's more unforgivable if you haven't seen Godfather Part 2. Because Godfather Part 2 was really...
Baby Steps with Chris, Blake. And Chris, thanks for the call. The Godfather. Chris must have not ever gotten around to it. I didn't see The Godfather until recently, but that's a good one. A few people chimed in with that.
Good.
But Godfather and then see Godfather 2 and then, what, not Godfather 3, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Godfather 3 you want to skip, and we don't have to go into the diatribe.
Yeah.
But you can skip that one.
We got a 224 saying The Big Lebowski.
Oh, man.
See, there should be a rating system for this. There should be a WTF. We can't say what that means. And then there's some that it's like, okay, you can skip it. We have...
Big Lebowski wasn't really well-loved by a lot of critics. Roger Ebert didn't even like The Big Lebowski.
Oh, wow.
So it sort of fell by the wayside. Its cult following has really led to more and more and more people seeing it over time. So that one, get to it eventually, but don't feel like you got to rush out.
All right, 630 says Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, that's tough. I'll admit I was a little bit of a late bloomer with Shawshank, but you cannot deny how great of a film that is. Once you see it, it's just, it's got to be in your top 20 of all time.
312, yeah, absolutely. 312-981-7200, text or call in, and Blake's going to tell you how big of a shame or not a shame it is.
Yeah.
The movies that people are shocked that you haven't seen, and then he'll tell you if you actually need to see it or not. We got a text from the 773 that says, Gone with the Wind.
Oh, boy. Well, see, Gone with the Wind is one of those unique, like, it's a long movie. It's a very long movie. It was shot by two different directors. The studio almost lost everything making it. It is a spectacle, but not in a spectacle like you would sense that you would see like Star Wars or Titanic. It's a spectacle in that it was a huge movie made. It is a very drawn out, you know, rich, lot of characters. It just, you should see Gone with the Wind, but don't go in and just be like, I have to watch this right now because some dude on the radio told me.
Right. So it's more like a Sunday afternoon. You got a few hours. You're going to cook something in the crock pot.
Yeah, you don't have to like. Yeah, you could start a meal in the crock pot, and the meal will be ready by the time the movie's over.
You got a good pot roast.
Yeah, hope you'd probably most sought after pot roast ever because the movie's very rich and it's gonna leave you, you know, very. You're gonna have feels.
The 773 says Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Now that's not one I would go. Oh come on, but what do you think?
I'll be honest. If you miss Fast Times, there's gonna be an entire generation of people who are not okay with that. I'm okay with it, but I have to say, when I first saw it, I did not expect it to be as deep as it was. No one really ever gave me context for what that movie was going to be like, so I went in completely blind. And that movie is funny, but it's not a comedy. There's a lot of deep cuts in that movie for people emotionally. If you haven't seen it, you are missing out, but you're definitely not, like, on the shame train. You know, as far as I'm concerned, like, but definitely get to that one eventually. That one's one of those. You're not gonna get what you expected, I think.
Blake, we've hit a nerve. Can you stick with us through the news and stuff?
Absolutely, you bet.
All right, so we want you to text and call in 312-981-7200. What movie are people shocked that you've never seen? And Blake will tell you whether that shock is justified, whether you need to go out and see it or not see it. And then we'll get to some more Star Wars stuff as well. We got to take a quick commercial break before the news. You're listening to 720 WGN. John Hansen in for Matt Bubala on this now Saturday morning. Cold Saturday morning. We've been talking with Blake Stubbs, a good friend of mine and movie expert, I guess we could say. Blake, we'll call you movie expert. That sounds good to me. You've seen almost every movie out there except Vertigo, which is fine. And everyone has that one movie that people are shocked when you've never seen it. And should you see it or not, Blake's going to let you know. And Dan, I want to ask you, do you have one out there that Blake can let you know about?
During the news, Roger mentioned the Hobbit films. I have not seen any of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, okay. Blake, what do you think?
Oh, Lord of the Rings trilogy, yes. The Hobbit franchise, like the movies that Peter Jackson just made, skip them.
All right, so yes, Lord of the Rings, skip them. That's another sit-down. You could make a few crockpot meals with Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you can feed a lot of people with Lord of the Rings. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes. A lot of crock pots.
That was one of the things that scared me away was I don't have the attention span for long epic tales.
Yeah.
Well, then, I thought you were going to say it scared you away because you didn't have enough crock pots. Okay, so we got a couple texts, two of them right away, back-to-back, Blake, and I've got to join in on this one, which is going to be surprising to you probably, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh.
That's an O rating.
See, that's you're getting into, okay, Big Lebowski's had a big cult following. We've already talked about that one. Rocky Horror is probably one of the definitive, like, cult films. Cult experiences, I would say, as far as entertainment goes.
Would you recommend someone going to see, like, the live thing of it?
I would, but go with friends, not go alone.
Don't go alone.
Best advice I can give you.
Okay.
I've been to many of those productions. They're a blast. They're absolutely, they are an experience on their own. You have to do it.
The 224 says Forrest Gump. Ugh.
Oh, boy, Forrest Gump.
That's an oh boy. Okay, that's an oh boy rating.
Yeah, that's an oh boy rating because Forrest Gump is a very rich film, and it's Robert Zemeckis who did Back to the Future. He did, you know, Polar Express. He's worked with Tom Hanks a lot, but Forrest Gump is one of those truly rich movie-going or movie-watching experiences, I think.
Great soundtrack,
I watch it once a year. Yeah, and the score is excellent. I watch it once a year.
All right.
Forrest Gump is Yes.
We have right. someone call, chiming in saying that they've never seen any James Bond movies. So, Blake,
whoa,
does that bother you?
Whoa.
Whoa. No. That's a whoa, whoa, no rating.
Oh, no. There's so many of them.
Well, okay. Well, then help them out. Pick two that they should see.
Two.
You only get two.
Well, honestly, I think if I want to introduce somebody to James Bond, pick Casino Royale and
okay.
Skyfall. I mean, go with Daniel Craig. I mean,
not a Sean Connery one?
Well, I don't know. This is tough because for me, Daniel Craig has really cemented a legacy as James Bond.
Okay.
Trust me, I'm even a fan of Roger Moore as James Bond to some degree. There's some cheese there. Lazenby's Bond. Like, the different iterations of Bond have been very interesting now that we've got so many of these movies and so many of these different stories. But for me, like, if I want to introduce somebody to Bond, like nowadays, if they've never seen one, I would say jump in with Craig. Go right with Casino Royale. Okay. Kick off. Like, the action, the coolness, the everything that's right about Bond is present in Casino Royale and Skyfall. Quantum of Solace.
Yeah, you can miss that.
Watch immediately after Casino Royale to get it and enjoy it.
312-981-7200. Text in. What's the one movie that people are shocked that you've never seen? Blake will tell you if you have to see it or not. Tom Hanks, we mentioned him in Forrest Gump. Here's two. I'd say Castaway and Green Mile. I'd say yes, Castaway, no Green Mile. What about you?
I would be a flip side of that. I would say yes, Green Mile, and I would say maybe on Castaway. Castaway, I remember watching with my parents and just kind of being like, Like, Tom Hanks is awesome, but I didn't need this movie to validate it.
Oh,
like,
God.
That's kind of, you know, that's sort of my, like, it's okay. a very heavy acting movie, and it shows what he's really capable of.
Okay, so if you're from Chicago, Blues Brothers, come on.
You have to, oh, man. Stop listening to this show right now.
No, Blake, don't not say that.
But Blues Brothers is an essential movie-watching experience. For anyone, even if you're not from Chicago.
Yeah, that's true.
So it is one of those, it's one of the few movies that is a true road movie. They're almost never, you know, lacking for being on the road. And the car crashes is great. The music's awesome.
It's really a musical.
Everything is present and that makes movie watching fun, especially in a group.
So like, Blues
Brothers is a great group movie watching time.
Blues Brothers gets a stop everything rating. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting one. I don't think this is a must-see. I don't know what this reaction you'll get. A 49-year-old male chimes in. I don't know why he prefaces with that, but I guess he's never seen Predator.
49-year-old male. No, that's, I mean,
okay.
In the 80s, that's one of the seminal action movies of the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, Get to the Chopper, that's what that's from. you know, there's, you know, I don't know, like, there's some big names in Predator. The action is really cool.
But it's not a must-see.
I wouldn't necessarily put that one over, like, say, Terminator. I wouldn't put that one over Aliens.
Right, okay, right.
But yeah, no, like, Predator, it's okay, 49-year-old male, if you missed Predator.
That's a meh. Okay, what about Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Honestly, I know people love it. I know people are obsessed with it.
Yeah.
For me, I'm like, okay.
Well, one thing that Richard Roper and I always agree on, and not like we're friends, but, like, I read a lot of Richard Roper, and we both love Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is such a fun movie. I mean, I remember being sick as a kid, putting that on and watching it and being like, oh, I'd love to do all this. Now as an adult, I've done most of what they've done in the movie,
right.
But never in one day. Like, never in one day.
It's a pretty action-packed day.
There's some really cool, like, magic to that, you know, whole, like, what if we had just a whole day in Chicago? Like,
right.
That's really cool, especially if people you know from out of town. If they're coming over and they're like, oh, it's really, like, our plans are ruined. Let's watch a movie. If you're around, put in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
All right.
Love that as a group.
What about The Sound of Music?
Oh, man. Apparently The Hills Aren't Alive for Everybody. Sound of Music is, I'm a theater guy as well. Sound of Music's a very big stage show. And so I grew up seeing that before I ever saw the movie, believe it or not. Now, Julie Andrews in that movie is just, she's next level. I mean, she's just phenomenal. To have missed that, if you're not into musicals, that's totally okay. When people bring up musicals, I'm usually like, "Well, if you haven't seen that, that's all
right."
That's
right, cool. And that leads into the next one really well. Someone says they've never seen West Side Story, and I'd say see it on stage before you. The film didn't do it for me.
No, the film's not bad. It's
no,
not in any way bad. It's just one of those things where I'm like, nah, the magic of musicals in a lot of cases that lies being seeing it on some real boards with real actors doing a real professional job of doing it, and that's worth every penny. You know, usually. For most shows, you know, it's worth extra money to see something live.
It appears we can rest safe, Blake, because it seems like everyone has seen Jurassic Park. I got no questions about that.
Well, if you were born like in 1994 or later, like it's okay if you haven't. But
I don't think they're listening to this.
Yeah, we need to have a serious talk.
Okay, all right, Blake, hang on. We're going to get to Star Wars after this commercial break. We're going to talk a little bit more about why you should be much more excited for 789 versus 123, or at least why people are. Right after this on 720 WGN. WGN. John Hanson in here for Matt Bubala. Got Blake Stubbs on the line. We're talking about movies people are shocked that you've never seen before, and Blake will let you know first with a rating and then whether you should see them or not. Just a few more texts to get through, Blake, that we had through the commercial break. Someone texted that they've seen The Sting, but if someone told them that they hadn't seen it, they'd put them in a headlock, drag them to the recliner, and force them to sit and watch it. If they resisted it, they would line them up with a fight that's reminiscent of an alley fight to ensure that they would give up and watch it. Would you agree with The Sting? Have you seen The Sting?
I have seen The Sting. I saw that in early, like when I was starting to mature as a film goer, I would say. And it definitely sticks with you. It's one of those movies where, yes, you should see it. I don't necessarily know that we need to organize a beating or a fight to make sure someone watches it. But, you know, just an easy, hey, come over and watch whatever movie I pick, and then that's the movie you put on. If they have to sit and watch it, they're definitely going to enjoy it.
Is there any movie out there that we should organize a beating for, Blake, if you had to?
If I had to? Well, I think everybody
Citizen
should
Kane,
see
yeah.
if they haven't seen Citizen Kane.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry. It's one of those things where, like, eventually you got to see Citizen Kane. If you've watched a movie in your life, at least watch what is considered the greatest by many. I had a weird education with Citizen Kane. I saw it when I was younger, and I was like, eh. I saw it in college, and I thought, oh, right. It's really great. And then I saw it with Roger Ebert's commentary in a theater, and it was like a whole new world. So there is something to Citizen Kane that every moviegoer or every film watcher needs to see it.
And Larry asks about Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club is very important, especially because I think it took what was a lot of movies about teen angst and it turned it into something very cerebral. It's almost like it's a chamber play in a lot of ways. And you see a lot of different personalities. You see characters that are brilliantly acted by actors who were really, you know, they were the it thing at the time. But now they're doing things where people are looking at them in a different light. Breakfast Club is important.
Cool.
It's important for teens. Yeah.
If you're in your teenagers, I think that's a really important movie to see. It kind of shows you, first of all, that other people kind of go through whatever, all the emotions you're going through, but then also kind of like makes you realize it's bigger than just what's going on in your world. This has been really fascinating. We really appreciate everyone for texting in and calling on in these suggestions, and it kind of took on a life of its own, but it was a lot of fun. All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Blake, now what we brought you here to talk about was Star Wars an hour ago.
Right.
You gave the review, and I'm not talking about this question I'm going to pose to you. I don't want you to answer it like because you've seen the movie. I'm talking about even before you saw the movie.
Yes.
What is different, for those that don't know, between 1, 2, and 3, the prequels that they released some time ago, and 7, 8, 9? Walk us through who's making this movie instead of the other ones and why that has given some people either nervousness or they're excited for it.
Okay. Well, okay, if we want to do, do you want me to just do 1 through 3 and what we're going to get of 7, 8, 9?
I guess who made 1, 2, and 3?
Okay, who made 1, 2, and 3? Well, that was George Lucas.
Right.
I mean, that was George Lucas. I mean, all of those movies were funded by George Lucas himself. There was no studio backing him. And of course, Star Wars, after the original trilogy, you know, it wasn't so much the movies that made a ton of money. It was toy sales, merchandise. So the Lucas, you know, money bank, so to speak, was providing all the funding. So there was really no one to sort of check and balance what was going on with the prequels. And it was really just sort of an origin story of the mythos that became a cinematic titan during the late 70s and early 80s and then carried. And people were so hungry for Star Wars that he was just like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to make these eventually, but I guess now's the time. And they fall flat for a lot of reasons with fans. And, I mean, critically, if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, if that's one of the benchmarks for what makes you go see a movie, you know, Phantom Menace, Episode 1 is the only one that's critically, you know, rotten, really. So, but for fans, for people that like Star Wars, I'm one who, if we want to get real serious, I'm a purist. Like, there's only 3 Star Wars movies up until last night, and now we have a 4th one.
Wow. So
that's the way I feel about it.
So George Lucas made the first 3, and wasn't there initial worry? Isn't so who making the 7, 8, 9? This is ultimately Disney, right?
this is. Disney acquired Lucasfilm and basically, you know, eliminated George Lucas completely from the creative side of it. He did pitch ideas. He did pitch, this is where I see it going, and they chose to go another route. In fact, he wasn't the only writer that they wrote off. Michael Arndt wrote a whole script, and he's an Academy Award-winning screenwriter. And they abandoned that and then brought in Lawrence Kasdan, who did Empire Strikes Back, and wrote Empire Strikes Back and a large portion of Return of the Jedi. And so they brought back a guy from, like, what made Star Wars Star Wars, and they injected him in it with J.J. Abrams, who directed the first film of this new trilogy. And so this is sort of coming at it from, and actually the signing of Lawrence Kasdan, bringing him in, that's what got me so invigorated for Disney's iteration of Star Wars. I have to say, like, I, as the nerd that I am, Lawrence Kasdan is sort of like the saving grace. I was like, Kasdan's involved? All right, you got me hooked.
I gotta ask, do you think, Blake, part of it is also maybe the excitement building up to it? And I've always felt this way about prequels. I know there's going to be a Harry Potter one, too, I just saw.
Yeah, and it has to be somewhere to find them. Yeah.
Right, and that excites me. Like, I like the Harry Potter books, and I like the movies. That's fine. Judge me if you want, whatever. But, you know, I'm excited for it. But since you already know what happens, you already know the end game. Prequels Correct. Sometimes don't do it for me because it's, you know, I already know the end. The end's the exciting part.
Yeah.
Now, is that maybe why people are so excited for 789, because it takes the story, we don't know the end now.
Correct. This is something that I've been thinking about a lot today, actually, is, you know, why, because you had mentioned to me, like, I want to talk about that. That's a big thing. Like, why do the prequels not measure up? For me, and for my dad, and I'm talking, these are two different generations, you know, episodes 4, 5, and 6, everything was so fresh. It was so different. It was a sci-fi universe, like, aesthetic, telling a fairy tale story and really stays in that fantasy realm. And it's very, you know, strong archetypal characters that are all well performed. The effects were unrivaled at the time. It was a very good versus evil. It was back when that's the type of movies people wanted to see. Then you get these prequel films. And the prequels, you know, they don't really have the same kind of wonder or imagination behind them. It was more like, well, people want Star Wars, so I'm going to give it to them. And that's sort of how they've aged to me as a fan. They just don't, there's no way to really get into them and feel surprised by anything. I mean, aside from, like, Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan Kenobi and, you know, a few select moments and some of the lightsaber battles, like, there's not a whole lot to it that really makes it sing. You know what I mean? It's, mm-hmm. it's like paying to see an opera and the singer's flat the whole night. It just doesn't work. So, yeah, they're lackluster. They're just lackluster in comparison to what really, you know, really resonated with people and audiences, generations of audiences.
Of course, no spoilers, but
no spoilers.
People seem to feel like just the fun of it is back. And the battle of good versus evil, and not that there's not layers and complexities to that, but that's what makes the original so fun, is it's a little easy to digest and emotionally tie yourself to a side.
With episode 7, there is enough fan service with familiar faces that you are going to really want to jump in and feel like this is part of something you've missed. Then you get these fresh new characters that are actually, I can't say enough positive things about the new elements, you know, character-wise in this, from be on the good side and the bad, you know, as far as dark and light. But definitely, you know, this is an entire franchise based in nostalgia. So you have to give me that if I'm going to come see it and accept it as Star Wars. But then now I really want something new, because that's what the prequels didn't give me. And they do. They deliver on that.
So, Blake,
that's why the movie works.
Yeah, I imagine also this is big because, and Roger broke down all the money-shattering records it's already making.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll end up being the most highly gross movie of all time, even when you have to add in inflation and stuff. So what I got to ask is, I mean, they really wanted to nail this one. Because if they don't, then all the talk for the release of 8 and 9 is about the disappointment of 7. I imagine that they really wanted to hit this one out of the park.
They really did, and I think that's actually a big reason why Lawrence Kasdan was brought in. I think that originally, because for a while he wasn't involved. I mean, they had a script, they were rolling with it, and then he jumped in, and they were rewriting everything. And from there, like, you know, visually, I think they always sort of knew what they wanted to do. But narratively was the big question. You know, what are we going to do? Where are we going to take this story? And so that's where, for me, you know, this episode really sets up what's going to come, and I don't fully know what that's going to be. I mean, I have my... I can prognosticate all I want,
right?
But no spoilers. I'm not going to go there.
No, do not
say that. Like, as a movie lover, I felt like I was transported somewhere that I hadn't been for a long time.
And that's what movies are all about.
And that's what that is. At the core, that's what going to the movies is really about. It's not about, I have 2 hours to kill, so I'm going to go watch a movie. It's about going somewhere and being able to be taken and ride out a wave of awesome for 2 hours, 15 minutes. And that's really what I felt like Episode 7 did. You know, nitpicking little things aside, which I can nitpick it if I want, but I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. I want to just maybe enjoy this one. And that's, and again, this is the fan talking, not so much the critic. So I'm trying to keep the critic at bay, but I'm definitely saying you need to, regardless of, you know, mothers, take your daughters, take your sons, everybody,
right.
Fathers, get your kids. Why isn't everybody doing this right now? Like, that's sort of how I feel, even though it's almost 4 a.m. Like,
right.
It's so exciting to have an event movie, you know, a movie that everyone can talk about as soon as they've seen it. And I have to say, as far as Facebook and, you know, Twitter and everything goes, I've been really impressed with the internet over the last couple of days. There have not really been...
We don't say that too often, but I haven't seen anything either.
No, and that is a positive thing. That shows me that there is good in this world. Because you have not spoiled Star Wars for people who have not seen it.
Oh, gosh. I got to tell you this one story. I haven't seen a spoiler yet for Star Wars. But Sixth Sense, I'll never forget this. I was standing in line to see it, and my friend Scott came out of the theater. He had seen it beforehand, and we saw him in the line. And can I ruin Sixth Sense yet for people?
You just say spoiler alert. Give it a.
Can I say spoiler alert? If you haven't seen, yeah. I mean, it's been long enough. Okay, yeah. Right. I'm going to say it.
Geez.
So spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Sixth Sense and you really want to see it, and you should, don't listen. Turn it off for a second. But Scott came out of the movie theater and said, he's dead. He's dead all along. Bruce Willis is dead. Screaming it at the top of his lungs as everyone in the theater is just like, oh, my God. And it ruined it.
That was like the night they released, you know, was it Harry Potter? It's Harry Potter 6 when Snape kills Dumbledore.
Blake, spoiler, you said spoiler alert after it, though.
Everybody, that movie has been out for years. Everyone knows that. That's spoiled on Facebook still, daily. To this day, someone will post it.
And heck, we spoiled it in our comedy group down at the University of Illinois.
And that was great.
So,
that are still like, well, were we really in the right? Should we spoil that? You know, but no one cares. They
right.
Do it.
But I tell you what, Sixth
Sense. About this.
Sixth Sense, that came out before, obviously, Facebook and social media and stuff.
Yes.
And the entire, and we were at a single showing theater, like a one screen.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone that was going in that line was going to see that movie. And you could hear the audible groans as what if you were to watch it the first time, you wouldn't realize were hints to the fact that Bruce Willis is dead. But then since it had been spoiled by this loudmouth teen, every single time something happened, you heard the whole theater start grumbling and mumbling like, well, yeah, because that's the case. We already know how it ends.
I'm going to invoke a little Howard Cosell here and say that would have been a sight to behold. That would have been something to see, man, because that's, wow.
It was, I'll never forget that kid for doing that. I think we all have those childhood memories that we'll never forget when the kid does. All right, so to wrap this all up, to put a nice little bow on this, Star Wars 7, if we're talking in 10 or 15 years, 20 years, is this a movie that if someone were to text in or however people communicate in 2035, you would say, go see it?
I would say, yeah, why haven't you seen this yet?
Okay.
This was the biggest thing. It was the biggest thing. Right. Your kids should have seen it by now. That's actually what I would say to them.
All right, Blake.
Your kids should have seen it by now.
We wanted you for like 15 or 20 minutes. We got you for the full hour. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us, okay?
Well, thank you. Pleasure.